Everybody, it's good to be with you again. This is the 3rd of May, and there will be a communion service at the end of the message this morning. So please have your bread and your wine or your juice ready. And if you have the printouts that I sent you, then you can join in with us where it's indicated. We've come to worship God. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We begin with a psalm, and today it's the 23rd psalm. And if you join with me in the second verse, the fourth and the sixth, let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Amen. Our first hymn today is a well-known one. It was written by one Thomas Chisholm, who was born in the States in a log cabin in 1866. Despite ill health, he lived until he was almost 100 and served for a short time as a Methodist minister. The tune was written by another Christian colleague, a publisher, William Runyon, and it's hymn 153. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. To our opening prayer. Let's pray. God, our Creator, we come to worship you this day. Some of us as it happens, others at different times when we're able. Jesus, our Shepherd, whenever and however we come, we know that we will find you here and that you will guard the gate for us. We come to this place of safety and welcome, ready to be fed and watered by our Shepherd King. Holy Spirit, our inspiration, we come to this place and time ready for you to enliven us with your love, breathe life into our tired souls, reinvigorate our purpose, and send us on our way. And so we ask you to forgive us for those times when we failed to find our way to you and instead have gone our own way and walked away from the flock. Forgive us for those times when we have ignored the shepherd's call and instead behaved in ways that take us off in a different direction from the rest of the flock. Lord Jesus, we know that you are the shepherd of our lives, always looking out for us, offering protection from a world that can be a scary place. Thank you for never giving up on your restless flock. Shepherd of our lives, hear our prayer. Amen. Our reading today comes to us from Sylvia MacKillop.
Today's reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. Listen now for the word of God. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Here ends the lesson. Praise be to God.
Our next hymn is one that helps us to see in some small way just how wonderful our God is. The shepherd of the sheep, yes, but so much more. In fact, whatever we may ever need. It was written by Thomas Truger, a retired professor from Yale University in the States, and he was recently honoured by the Ancient University in Basel for his preaching and teaching and his influence on Western theology. I've included the second verse for you today. In the hymn, he uses 41 words to describe our God. It's hymn number 133. Word and wisdom, root and vine, shepherd, saviour, servant, lamb, well and water, bread and wine, way who leads us to I am. Now let us pray. Shepherd of the lost and the lowly, of the weak and worn out, who sets a feast to satisfy the need of heart, soul and imagination, may your desire to feed all people bring new expressions of the fullness of your love as those of faith reach out with justice, mercy and grace through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. The 23rd Psalm must be one of the best known readings from our Bibles. It's sung in many different forms. It's read at weddings and funerals and in almost every language in the world. And perhaps that makes it difficult to find something new to say about it. But if we tie it in With the Gospel reading, it offers us such a wonderful picture of the God we worship and who sustains our lives as Christians. It's a psalm of contentment and trust in God, so much so that even when there's a suggestion of the threatening world all around, the presence of God in all our lives challenges that threat. In the language of the people in the days when this psalm was written in the ancient Near East, shepherd was a widely used metaphor for king. It's a metaphor that asks what it meant to be a shepherd in ancient times. So as well as a guide to the flock, it's someone who keeps the flock together, challenges the surrounding dangers, puts their own life on the line, because to lose even one sheep is a very costly loss. On the Cowell Peninsula on the west of Scotland, there's a lovely wee church, and in the churchyard there is one gravestone that's always intrigued me. It depicts a scene, a young boy surrounded by sheep and accompanied by a dog. I looked around for the story and eventually found out that it was the grave of a young shepherd boy of 14 who was out in the hills with the sheep one night. He knew that his family's livelihood and very existence depended on the care he took of those sheep and their new lambs. But the storm and the snow that came overnight was much worse than anyone expected, and the boy, who decided not to leave the sheep to their own devices, died at his post of cold and exposure. He was found the next morning alongside his faithful collie. They were buried side by side in the little church's graveyard. In bygone days, in much of Scotland, the clan chief was often referred to as the great shepherd or the keeper. His role was paternalistic. He took care of the clan members as members of his family. He acted as good shepherd and was responsible for making sure that they were fed and housed, and in return, they offered him their allegiance, their loyalty, and their trust. His people were prepared to lay down their lives for him in battle, and many of them sadly did just that. And so, as well as the comfort of the presence of God in life, the psalm also explores what it means to trust God with our very lives. This is not a romantic psalm. Instead, the background suggests that danger is looming, but hope can be found in God alone. Our Gospel reading brings us right back to the theme of the Good Shepherd. The background to the reading is this. Jesus finds himself surrounded by others following his healing of a blind man and his questioning by the Pharisees. The Pharisees have questioned the healing man, the healed man, and his parents, and finally, they've come to Jesus. And Jesus has suggested that it's they who are blind to the presence of God in their midst. He uses this very familiar image of the shepherd. This is a role that requires strength, courage, patience, and self-sacrifice. There was nothing romantic about being a shepherd in those days. Rather, it was a serious commercial business that needed a particular kind of person. And shepherds were often a little rough and ready. But they all knew their own sheep, and the sheep knew them and were familiar with their voices. And so Jesus goes on to compare the good shepherd with those thieves and robbers who would lead the flock astray. Perhaps there was more than a wee dig at the religious leaders of that day, something that any of us in any teaching or preaching role, or even those in any political role, might take to heart. Perhaps we should be asking ourselves what our motives are for being in any position of trust. Some time ago, a friend gave me a lovely poster that's somewhere wrapped up in my daughter's loft at present. The poster depicts all the amazingly different breeds of sheep that you can get. There are some weird and wonderful looking characters there alongside the familiar ones that we may know. Now, I have no idea, I'm no farmer, how many breeds of sheep there are in the world, but I know that there are a huge number, and humanity models the incredible diversity of God's flock. Diverse we may be, but there is no one more important than the other. The Good Shepherd is prepared to lay down his life for any one of us. We are a motley flock of diverse people, all different, all at different stages on the way, different ages and stages of life, and yet God is shepherd to them all. He welcomes us and admits us to the fold, the good and the not so good, the old and the young, those who've come often and those who've not been for a long time. The gates of the sheepfold are open and we're all invited to come in. I believe that in our own Scotskirk here in Lausanne and across our denomination, we model that acceptance, for we have no rules that can exclude anyone. All are welcome to worship and all are welcome to the communion table, as I announce at the beginning of every communion service. We used to have rules that prevented people from coming to church, but we have long ago dispensed with those, realizing that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for all varieties of sheep, from the fancy pedigree sheep. And in 2009, one farmer, Jimmy Douglas, apparently paid £230,000 for just one tup. Now, that's a male sheep for those not in the know. So from the fancy pedigree sheep to the many more lowly and familiar sheep that adorn many hillsides and fields across our world. So what kind of sheep are you? Well, looks are not important to our Lord. Money is not important to our Lord. It doesn't matter to him if we're worth £230,000 or francs or two. Our readings today tell us that we are all of infinite worth to him, and that like that little shepherd boy, he will never leave us nor forsake us, for he has already laid down his life for us. The Welsh, like all largely agricultural communities, understand the concept of the Good Shepherd. And so to finish, a reading translated from the Welsh by the Irish cleric Brendan O'Malley. It comes from a book entitled The Welsh Pilgrim's Manual. When the true shepherd speaks and someone hears him, the heart burns within, the flesh trembles, the mind lights like a candle, the conscience ferments like wine in a crock, and the will bows to the truth, and that small, powerful, heavenly voice raises up the dead from his own grave to live, to don the crown, and wonderfully changes the whole of life to live like the Lamb of God. Amen. Let's come to God in prayer now with our prayers for the world and its people. Let's pray. Lord, in a world where many search for the protection you offer, for a shepherd to welcome them in and to sit by their side, we bring our prayers for others in this difficult time. We pray for those who wonder where their next meal will come from. We pray for food justice to become a priority in our world. We pray for those who wonder when and if they will ever wake in the morning to peace. And we ask for an end to fighting. We remember too the courageous role of all peacekeepers still needed even at this time of world crisis. Lord, we pray today for those who wonder when they might return to work. For those who are forced to be at work despite their fears because they have no other way to feed their families. And we pray as ever that they at least be paid a fair price for their labours. We pray for those who wonder when they might see their family again. And we remember those working to reunite refugee families. We pray for those who wonder when they might be able to fully support their family. And we ask for wages that are fair and enough to support individuals and families. Lord, we pray for all those who wonder where their help might come from, for communities that mirror your love and care, for all looking for the shelter of a shepherd. We pray for your presence to be known. In this moment's quiet, we think of those situations and people known to each one of us at this time. We remember those who've lost loved ones, those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are afraid. Lord, for all these people and situations, we pray. And now we rededicate ourselves and all that we are and can give by saying together the Lord's Prayer in whichever form is most familiar to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now we come to our communion. And please have ready a little bit of bread or a cracker and some wine or juice. We also have to offer and share these gifts of bread and wine. And we remember our Lord on the night on which he was betrayed as he shared with his friends. Today we are separated in our homes, but together in our hearts through the Holy Spirit we share not only with each other, but with all who've gone before and with all who are yet to come. This is the true miracle of communion. We are not separated by worldly boundaries, just as we are not separated even by death itself. And so here we take our bread and our wine, and we set it apart for this special use and purpose. And so we ask in prayer that you bless us and these gifts of the field and the vine. Let us pray. Holy God, we remember how you have been with us all throughout the generations, with the people we read of in our Bibles, with our ancestors, our grandparents and our parents. We know how you sent your Son to show us how to love and to live. We remember his care for all those he met. And we think today of that wonderful day of resurrection. We praise you for that hope, that great hope, the hope and peace that passes all understanding. And so we praise you together in the angels' hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And now, Lord, bless us and the bread and wine that we will share. Send your Holy Spirit that it might become for us the body and blood of your most dear Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name and for his sake that we ask all these our prayers. And now we remember that all are welcome, and we take this bread and we break it for the life of the world. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Here is the blood of Christ shed for each one of you. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, grant us peace. Take, eat and drink in faith, in love and in hope. Dear friends, the peace of Christ is here among us. Peace be with you. Take a moment to share the peace with any who are with you, or simply send that peace out to those that can't be with you. Let us pray. Thank you, loving God, for all your many mercies, for all that we have and are, for all that you've shown us in this time, for this ability to share even as we are distanced, and most of all, for your Son, our Saviour, in whom we have our hope and our freedom. In the name of the resurrected Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn today is number 462, The King of Love. This hymn is a reflection on our psalm for the day, the 23rd psalm, and it was written by Sir Henry Williams Baker, who was a baronet, a clergyman, and the promoter of hymns ancient and modern, first published in the mid-19th century. I've included the last verse. And so through all the length of days, thy goodness faileth never. Good Shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever. To our blessing. May the Good Shepherd of the sheep guard you and keep you until we meet again, and may the blessing of Almighty God, Creator, Son, and Spirit be with you all, now and evermore. Amen. Mm-hmm.